Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1189. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
As talked about before here, and honestly, the last show that we did together here was the thir rare Thursday show. We previewed both of the PLEs. This well, one's a PLE, one's a pay-per-view. Both NXT Heatwave and what obviously is going to lead things off for us. We actually pulled money out of our wallets and paid to watch AEW All In this year. So, yeah, why not talk about it here? And I will admit, one part that you did not need to pull a wallet out for was the buy-in. I did
No,
not watch the buy-in.
you didn't miss anything, really. It's they snuck five matches on this thing.
Yeah,
I
it
couldn't
is
even tell you what two or
wild.
three of them are. I literally don't remember them at this point. That's just how inconsequential the first three matches on this buy-in was. And of course, because it's a buy-in, you got to have those Costco guys, even if it makes no sense, even if the Hurt Business, the Hurt Syndicate, excuse me, would never be caught within 100 miles of these clowns. They were forced to team with them as part of the buy-in.
I guess Costco has that kind of money to buy the loyalty of the Hurt Syndicate these days. I mean, Costco's
I guess they do.
doing okay for itself, right?
Yeah,
That's
absolutely.
who's
It's
just
absolutely is.
borrowing from their advertising budget. Like, hey, this will get even more people to come to Costco. Okay. Everyone in AEW, every AEW fan, Costco member. Anywho, yeah, did not, well, neither of us watched that
No, I did not. I said I tr I just. I pressed the home button on my remote and just sat in silence for about 10 minutes and just waited for it to finish.
match. Yeah, so I don't feel bad about missing any of these matches. The one thing that I was interested in that I saw the news, obviously did not get the context since it was in the buy-in. Persephone ends up defeating Maya World for the AEW TBS Championship. The big talking point within this, though, and the question I have for you, how is the returning Britt Baker involved in this whole situation?
She cost Maya World the TBS championship by pushing her off the top rope before and allowing Persephone to hit her finish and win the match. And then she got in
Okay.
the ring and the announcer speculated who it could be. And then when the masked assailant put the lockjaw on Maya World, oh, and then because it was a black and gold mask as well.
Boy, yeah, she's very subtle with her Keller schemes that she uses.
Yeah. And then she unmasked, and her and Persephone are now a unit together and are calling out Thunder Rosa, referencing of course the long history between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. Interesting to note, it kind of sounds like Britt Baker is more there to be in the corner of Persephone than she is to than she is re resuming her own in-ring career.
Wow. Okay. Well, that
From the way
is
it sounded.
extremely interesting. That yeah, if she does not wrestle again, that yeah, it'd be interesting.
Or she only wrestles very, very sparingly.
Yeah, maybe they just needed to find out a way to use her star power here and mouthpiece for Persephone on the list maybe here.
It sounds like it.
If that's the case. So yeah, that is interesting. So I did not see the beginnings of this just absolutely ridiculous trios
This
roulette royale.
thing was a fucking disaster. I mean, they never explained what the rules were to the very till it was time for everyone to come out. A progressive entry trios battle royal, where you have to throw every member of a team out so before they are eliminated.
No,
It's
yes.
just an absolute clusterfuck of the highest order. It no, no it's it actually did seem like the guys in this match had the rules just sprung on them at the last minute. Because no, because that this whole thing was just felt off and awkward. No one really seemed prepared for it. And then of course everyone had to just fill time towards the end because of the whole gimmick that they were doing of going on the air live with the with the pay-per-view with this match in progress and the final wild card team to be announced.
Yeah, they were at least TK at least smart enough to save the debuting New Level for actual pay-per-view material
Yes.
here.
Yes.
So
Another WWE act coming over 100% whole, just having to take on a new name. Otherwise, they are the exact same characters just that walked off of WWE TV.
yeah, it's funny how this happens. That they do absolutely nothing to change their characters when they move over.
Yeah, it flies in the face of everything I've ever expected from wrestling. I mean, it really does. There's just
Yeah, it's it is definitely an interesting call, and there's definitely more to be said about the New Level here. But I do think that because the match was just so centered around them coming back, they still got lost in it because it was a battle royal.
yeah, debuting them in a battle royal, not how I would have done it. And again, if you cut matches from this damn thing, from this stupid buy-in thing, you could have done an actual. If you'd have cut 3 out of the 5 matches out of this thing and allowed them to actually have a real gauntlet with 6 individual matches, you still could have done the gimmick where, just Hangman and Brodito were in the ring waiting for the last team, and
Oh,
then you just
yeah.
do a traditional trio. It's a trios match to kick off the pay-per-view. You wouldn't have had to have such a cluster mess of a match, and so again, it seemed like no one really knew what they were doing in it. And then they realized they had a lot of time to fill before Swerve and the New Level were going to come out.
Yeah. So it was not the best debut for Austin, because it's Austin, Awesome Austin Creed, and
Yeah, something awesome off screen, whatever, and just Kofi.
just Kofi. I was just like, wow, man. You guys really trying to figure out if that's worse or going by your real name when it's Stephen Farley.
Well, I'll raise you just Jericho.
Oh. No,
I can
thank
raise
you.
and there I can raise you Cope.
Cope. Oh, Cope's terrible too. Jeez.
That's all so bad. But anyway, the match goes on, and at least the smart play was done in terms of Swerve and the New Level, none of them being eliminated, them winning the match altogether. They
Oh.
are the new trios champions. And at the moment, you think, okay, Kofi and Creed are going to, focus on defending these trios championships, and we're going to hold off on involving them in any way in the tag team title picture.
Just every step forward, there's a step back with the with these guys. Like, as much as there, and I guess I should maybe say this up front, there was a level of enjoyment for me for the pay-per-view.
I enjoy the pay-per-view as a whole. I'll say that it created,
Yeah.
watching the buy-in included, made it a long day, and it wore on me as time goes on. I will certainly we'll talk more about that later.
Oof, yeah. I think you weren't the only one with wrestling fatigue there. But yeah, so that was the I think that we were both correct in that prediction. I believe
I
we
think
had
we were
said that
correct. We
New Day and or whatever they'd be called, in this case New Level, will end up being champs with Swerve. So hey, one correct for us. Next up on the card, the Brawling Birds taking on Megan Bain and Lina Cross. I believe this is another correct one for us,
Yeah.
in that we believe that the Brawling Birds seem primed for a championship run here, especially in front of
Yeah.
the home English crowd.
Yeah, no, that this was well done. The best thing they ever could have done with Alex Windsor was put her in this team. And of course,
Well, I mean, they're still even rehabbing Jamie Hayter
yeah,
within
exactly.
this whole
Yes, yes,
team.
yeah, y yes. Jamie Hayter definitely needed something to grasp onto as well. They've done well with Divine Dominion, so losing this match doesn't hurt them too much as a team if they're gonna continue as a team. Yeah, this match was okay. Nothing too special, but the right finish to pop the crowd.
Yeah, it delivered what it should have, honestly. So I am at least a thumb up in that department to that matchup. It was what it should have been. Next up, I believe we also thought that the English would be denied a clean sweep in the victory department. John Moxley took on Nigel McGuinness next up in the night here. And it looks like we got another one right here, sir. In
We did get another one right, and this match was really good. It was a different kind of match than just about anything else on this show. British style wrestling, or however you catch wrestling, or whatever you want to call it. Moxley proved he can actually wrestle in a match with no weapons and no blood and very little work on the outside. Yeah, they had a
Yeah, him and
Yeah,
his
they had a
Dutch
really good.
jitsu really got through that matchup.
Yeah. I'll say death just you, because somehow, and I don't know who it was, the ankle lock, but somehow he actually legitimately. McGinnis legitimately has a broken ankle, which is why he was so awkwardly in a wheelchair during
Oh my gosh, I did not
during the final
hear that
match.
news. I've been trying to stay away from everything, so I've
Yes.
probably hopped on the socials a little bit less until I just kind of laid eyes on it myself.
Yeah.
And oh, okay. Yeah,
Yeah.
that does explain a lot if his ankle was genuinely broken. Yeah, he really had to dodge some stuff on the outside with a broken ankle, man.
He really did. Yeah, that was a That was a rough night for it was it was a rough night for Mr. McGinnis.
Oh man. Yeah, so probably could have been my favorite match of the night, honestly.
I wouldn't argue with you too much about it.
All things considered, I just, yeah, I have a couple of small problems with the main event. Not really big ones, honestly, but. So I believe it gotten that one right. So next up on this fairly lengthy card here, Kazuchika Okada ends up defeating Kyle Fletcher and Konosuke Takeshita in the three-way international championship match here. They definitely had a Don Callis at ringside talking up how this was going to work amongst two alphas. And what was mostly a theme of the night, John Moxley being a bit of an exception, there was a lot of losing championships on the night. A
Yeah,
lot.
there was definitely a lot of losing championships on the night, and yeah, it happened here. Okada takes the
And if I'm not mistaken, did he, Fletcher took the pin?
Yes, I think yes, he did. I think so. Yeah.
So I need to double check that part, but I'm pretty sure that was the case there. Oh,
What?
there was the the flip around spot, but it was the Rainmaker that did it for Okada too, Fletcher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, clean transition. I am of the opinion that we are maybe going to see Konosuke Takeshita 2.0 with Kyle Fletcher here. And that this is what it ends up being the deal breaker for him in the Don Callis family. Do you
Yeah,
have
I
any
think
opinion
so.
on that?
Yeah, it seems like it. It does seem like they're starting to prime Fletcher for something of a face turn, which they're high on him. Obviously, they're higher on him than I am. Although he was good here, he's good in the ring. I'm just not as big on his promos and his wardrobe choices.
His
Just his overall
wardrobe choices
personality.
are interesting. Definitely not my favorite out there, that is for sure. It seems because he ends up he does end up raising the hand of Okada after the match. But it was right after he almost clocked him with the championship belt too. So,
Yeah.
we'll see how the future frustration ends up working out there for Mr. Fletcher, who him and the fiance had a rough evening here. What did I guess get enough time, but also is still completely silly. The Casino Gauntlet match for the AEW World Championship match. We knew we were starting off with Andrade and MJF, and then we had a whole list of characters that ended up joining this thing that was maybe even a little bit more than I expected when you and I talked about this one.
Yeah, no. They got through their whole roster of guys in this match pretty much.
It was really wild to see who all popped out for this one, because the fact that Daniel Garcia was one of the people on that list, it was something pretty amazing to me. And the other thing that I know that they say that they're random intervals. It got a little bit odd and weird to me that they kept on basically releasing two people at the same time.
AW loves to say random intervals, and you don't people following each other right after one right after another. The whole the Jericho the Ciampa Jericho bit,
Yeah, they kind of they redid it a couple of times during this, and it's just like, guys, come on, man. So, 'cause what the Nick Wayne, yeah, was someone else who someone came out and he just like ambushed someone without even them knowing that he was in the match.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did do
It
that.
like they
Yes.
didn't even have a chance to Justin Roberts didn't have a chance to screw up a name.
No. Yeah. No, he didn't.
Oh man, that might be one of the things that did stand out about this matchup that Justin Roberts one call too early and mixed up Mystico and I'm trying to remember who the other one was. Oh, Commander. Yeah.
And of
So.
course Taz was in all his glory after Justin Roberts's big mistake. He was really enjoying himself there. He just
Yes, he
popping himself in
was.
the just one of those times that the announcers just trying to pop each other was actually added to the match.
Yeah, just this is another one where because of the random intervals and the way AEW sets up these matches, it's always a tough draw for me as far as interest level. Even when you have something like the AEW Championship, it puts too many people out there to me this style of match. And especially since they did really load up, because what? Oh, yeah, Daniel Garcia was number 10. Oh, Jack Perry was number 11. Like, they really emptied the. Whoever hadn't been in a match or listed for a match ended up going out for this one, basically.
Well, yes.
I'm not sure if we both predicted Andrade or not, or if we
I think
split
I
the
predicted that.
difference with an MJF.
I think I predicted MJF. I don't. Who did you predict?
I don't remember if it's Andrade or MJF, honestly, because those two made the most sense to have the championship shot. So, everyone else that came after that was is really in no position to
Well, I'd
to
be
do.
remiss if I didn't mention MJF and Andrade's very tasteful dick spots. Just hitting someone in the forehead with your dick. That's what we do now. And that's supposed to hurt or
Yeah,
something. I guess maybe
it
there's a cup factor maybe we're thinking about, but we
It's
don't reference the cup ever.
supposed to be grody, I suppose.
Yeah, it's
It's
definitely
supposed to
that.
be disrespectful. We did have it three times within the same match because MJF to Andrade, Andrade to MJF, and then Daniel Garcia to MJF, all in the same evening.
Yeah, no. It was a little too much dick butting for me.
Yeah. So that match happened. I think one that we may have gotten wrong here. Again, did not write down the predictions, and I'm going off my brain ski here. Cope and Cage defending the AEW Tag Team Championships against the Young Bucks. And Cope and Cage end up retaining. Like, they
I was
are on an extremely short list for retaining on the
I
night.
they are definitely that was definitely a short list for the night. I was very surprised by this result. I thought for sure the Young Bucks were going to regain the tag team championships, but we are moving forward with Cage and Cope as your as our tag team champions. And we are introducing the seniors tour to even more of a seniors tour to this tag team division, as after the match, they are then confronted by the Motor City Machine Guns, last seen doing nothing in WWE. Or they made one appearance in AEW in Detroit. That's right. They did one, they made one appearance and then disappeared for a month. For over a month.
Yeah, they got their championship run, and they're like, okay, there's your big thing that's gonna happen in the WWE. See you later.
Yeah.
But yeah, seniors nonetheless.
Then out comes FTR, not exactly spring chickens themselves at this point. And speaking of not exactly spring chickens at this point, out comes the new level, because one champion winning one championship is just isn't quite enough.
Yeah, that it was a such a nothing burger of a segment. I'm not quite sure why that wasn't one of those. This is one of those moments where I'm like, put this on Dynamite, guys.
Yeah.
Like, s save us this moment
Involving
on
the
the
other
pay-per-view.
involving the other teams cheapened the first moment of New Level and the Young Bucks being in the ring at the same time.
Oh. Yeah, and that too. You
Well,
know, like
can't get that back. It's pretty much the reason you signed the new level so you can finally do this Young Bucks match. And instead, Cage and Cope retain, and we're introducing two other teams into this mix.
And then, as you already pointed out, they have the trios championships because
Yeah.
you can never leave well enough alone in AEW, where even if you have championships, they're not important enough to stay focused on. You've got to
Yeah, of
always
course.
go after another championship.
Of course.
Oh my
We've even seen
gosh.
AEW world champions want to be tag team champions. Why? I don't know. We've
Yeah,
seen
and
AEW
this.
world champions be ROH tag team champions, for God's sakes, in this damn company.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm here for, to remind you of the
Oh my gosh. It is still wild too. What the was it 8 years ago? The official All In anniversary was just recently.
Yep.
So, yeah, these
Actually, I think
this
it's
summit.
today. I think it might be today, actually. It was September something, wasn't it? We were there?
yeah, we were there. I do not remember the date, and I'm not looking it up quite yet since you appear to be. Yeah, I just yeah, really did not love that segment with the tag teams at the end for just a multitude of reasons. Like you said, like it just seemed like a weird confrontation
Nope.
between the
Yep.
Bucks and New
Yeah.
Level.
It's 8 years ago today. Yep. We were at
Okay.
All In. How time flies.
Hey, yeah, time flies when you're having fun with
Yeah.
professional wrestling.
We did have some fun that we did have some fun on that trip.
Yeah, and like you said, like that tag team division is, whew, man, when the Young Bucks are the youngest and they're definitely not young anymore, It's a real statement there.
Yeah.
And I did kind of love that FTR is like, oh, we're gonna be gone for a while. And they're like, oh, you signed those guys, we're back. Okay. I guess that's your right. But yeah, they really, really should have been safe for Dynamite. Holy smokes. Next up, and you know, this match did stand out. Like, I think that's one of the reasons I like the pay-per-view is they really did not go into the death matches too much. And the Kevin Knight versus Darby Allin Falls Count Anywhere matchup was the closest thing to it.
Yeah, it
Like,
definitely
I
was. It
know
was
that it
a
did
big raw
not
match of the show.
have, yeah, it did not have the blood of the main event, but
No.
I do think that it had more, you know, spots and out, you know, just out, yeah, outside influence objects playing into the matchup.
Yeah. I mean the beatdown of Darby Allin by the job squad of the Don Callis family went on too long. I would say
Oh,
it's like, okay,
fair.
you know, even before Stephen Borden got involved, it's like, okay, we know this is you know, once a like maybe once a year we get this thing spot with Darby, saving Darby. As usually get all in.
Yes. Yeah. Sting has an awful habit of saving Darby when they're not a tag team.
Yeah, so we knew what this was gonna be. It just went too long, and I mean, he even let his own son take probably way too much of a beating, really.
That was the biggest thing to me, and I'm like, you're gonna let your son get his ass kicked like that? Like, A, supposedly Darby Allin's your buddy, and you've waited more than long enough, honestly, with that one. But then you're like, yeah, son, go out and get him, Gipper, and then he just watches him get beat down for 5 minutes. Like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll finally make my way to the ring.
But then he did. But then
Oh
he
my
finally made his way to
gosh.
the ring. He took down Jake Doyle and why would I not
Yeah,
remember?
Brian
Brian
Cage
Cage with
and
base with bats,
yeah.
and then he got in the ring and we got a little standoff with him and Kevin Knight, which but that resulted in Darby Allin getting back on Kevin Knight. Then we got a ladder in the ring. And this is where it really turned fun and good. This was a great spot. Sting go out to jump off the ladder, and Stephen Borden's like, "No, no, no, Dad, I got this." You know, nice little fun, a nice moment, and then you know, Stephen Borden takes them out with a
That one popped me pretty good. Like, it's
"No, Dad,
just
no."
because I know that on more than enough occasions on this podcast, we're like, why is Sting doing these table spots in his 50s here? Like, this it
Early
is so
60s, actually.
unnecessary. Like, I like Sting, you're already respected. Like, we don't need you doing like diving off the ring post onto a bunch of guys' spots anymore here, buddy. Like, you've achieved whatever status you really want to call it, honestly. So yeah, that really, because we've made fun of it for so long, like, I think that popped me even more that his son's like, let me take this one. So yeah, that was an enjoyable spot. And of course, Darby Allin was not gonna be yeah, he's gonna be Darby Allin. Especially in a Falls Count Anywhere matchup. And he dives from a fairly tall spot on the rig into, hey, the announcers tried to cover it up, but clearly a crash spot. for him and Kevin Knight to go through, which is a extremely smart. It's a fun visual.
It was a great visual, and
Darby Allin is still
it was still
bonkers.
incredibly dangerous. It was there was more
Yes.
da I mean others I know Shane like Shane McMahon did a number of crash pad spots off of the trusts and all that. This was different than that, it felt like. This felt like he had a Darby Allin was coming down at a very high rate of speed with a very short windows of a failure here.
Yeah, he is pretty amazing in that department. He has managed not to really harm himself too bad. I mean, obviously he's picked up some injuries here and there, but he's managed to stay fairly safe even with doing some of these bonkers spots. And yeah, yet again he nailed it. And boy, that's yeah. And I guess that is where we leave things here. And I feel like I was calling for a Kevin Knight retention. I'm not sure where you
I picked
were
Darby.
in the
I picked Darby. This was the blow off. The baby face wins the blow off.
Oh.
He did. Again, once Sting finally showed up, this thing really turned around. This turned out big fun,
Yeah.
really enjoyable.
Yeah, and to go back to the top of the conversation, because it was the only thing of its kind, it really stood out. It wasn't like the third match with weapons or something wild like that. Like this was the only match of its kind, which was really nice. Next up on the list, Willow Nightingale defending her AEW Women's Championship against Mercedes Moné. There was definitely a lot of talk about Willow's choice of costume on the way out to the ring. She called him confetti titties, so you know that's what I'm gonna go with.
Yeah, the confetti
And
titties weren't quite in unison. They weren't quite coordinating with each other. It was a
No,
good
they did not cooperate.
no. But again, attempt at a high-end entrance. A for effort there. The match
Yeah,
itself.
AEW still lacks something in the panache department that WWE still has well over them for some of these more fancy entrances. The AEW is not as elaborate as the WWE for sure.
No.
Even though both of these ladies did have something for an entrance. Not
Yeah.
quite sure what the ballerina bit was for Mercedes Moné, but
No, it
it
didn't really
was
fit. That didn't really wasn't really impressive or anything. No. But
something.
the match itself was impressive. I largely enjoyed the match. And within the end, Mercedes Moné, within we've been saying for weeks, it just feels weird that after all this time, after over 2 years, Mercedes still has never actually won the AEW Women's World Championship. But here we
Yeah.
go. She wins the AEW Women's Championship from Willow Nightingale.
Yeah, I definitely feel like this is the one for sure that I went with Willow defending the championship because
I
it's
think I did too, yes.
too early to turn this thing over. So yeah, I believe I had because of how my weekend ran, I did not watch All In until a later time period here. This was a result that I was aware of. It really didn't change anything. This was a very good match. And I feel like the Willow hand injury was a real one, or at least they definitely used it to their advantage to
Yeah, they
tell a
were.
story in this one, if it is not a real hand injury.
Yeah, no, it's a very real hand injury.
Okay. So, yeah, that it also makes a little more sense if she has a hand injury and really needs to be gone for some amount of time again. It's best to give her a reason to have the time off.
Yeah, she could use some time off to heal this hand now. There's still quite a bit of meat left on the bone for these two. These two seem like they can always go back to feuding with each other. I mean, the
Yeah.
chemistry, and in this iteration of it, the chemistry was really off the charts for them. They bring out the best in each other. So yeah, I look forward to more matches between them, actually.
Yeah. They really delivered, and yeah, Mercedes Moné, new AEW Women's Champion. So and. Yeah, last but not least here, Kenny Omega defending the AEW World Championship against one Will Ospreay in the main event here. We were pretty I broke this viewing up into three different packages. It still felt like I was on a marathon getting to this match.
Oh, you don't even know the half of it if you actually watch the buy-in live, if it's all live. Oof. I was
Yeah.
not.
Anyone watching live that had a reaction during this part of the event and that was there the whole time, God bless.
I was probably not giving this match its dues, really from the jump. When Jeremy Mays has to tell you're being too harsh, you're really going in with a chip on your shoulder. I had horrible thoughts about poor Will Ospreay's mom. And you know what? And speaking of entrances with panache, they really went for it with Will Ospreay's entrance. I will give it to them, since I've actually had the
Oh.
chance to watch it again. It's a you know I've always I like Bob O'Reilly. I like again it was a good concept of it. Having the guy's mom speak for him is a little it's a little too folksy. It's a little it's a little too mushy maybe, but
No.
it was still a nice thought. And
Yeah.
the issue is, as he's doing his walk in the this is WWE should have done this with John Cena back in December. Have him just
Oh.
walking through the backstage that's coming across all the ghosts of his past. That would have been fantastic for that
I
moment.
like that part with Will Ospreay getting to like you said revisit his ghosts of the past before
Now,
going out for this championship match.
some of that was, AEW having to do this thing where you have to have like this encyclopedic knowledge of a guy's career even before AEW. There was this one guy just standing there. I think it was before he got to Ricochet, or maybe it was. I have never seen this man before in my life, and I watch a lot of wrestling. Stuff like that.
Yeah,
And of course,
I think I agree with you where I have no idea who that person is or what he symbolizes, but I'm like, okay,
And then of
I'll
course there's
keep on moving along.
the United Empire guys, who are just the most generic white guys you could ever see in your life. These guys are so interchangeable. Like, you could just put anyone off the street in that group, and I would just say, oh yeah, they've been there the whole time. Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah, it's not great. I guess I have this to say in defense of Jay White. Like, he has a look to him.
Yes, he does. I'll give it to you with credit. Yes.
That Callum Newman I know that I've watched him wrestle a couple of times on AEW TV, just because they brought him over a handful of times here now. And I'm with you. Like I could not pick them out of a lineup because they are just so bland looking. And
Oh yeah.
even Francesco Akira, love the name. Just I don't know what the guy looks like.
No, I can't ever picture them. No. Anyway, that was what they went with for Will Ospreay's entrance. Again,
Oh,
I
yeah.
didn't give it I did not give it the nicest chance on my first viewing. It was really well done. Not
Yeah.
as big on the Kenny Omega and anime inspired entrance. I didn't totally. I obviously understand his roots in wrestling, so it was paying tribute to that, I guess. But otherwise, I didn't really think Omega's entrance was anything too special. And
No, he kept it pretty simple for the specialness of it.
then we have
Still.
the match itself, which was, especially early on, way more of a brawl than I ever thought it was going to be. But they
Oh.
had Kenny Omega be absolutely vicious in this match. Will Ospreay was blood a gusher, that power bomb into the tape from the announce table to the leaning table spot was pretty brutal
Oh,
looking.
yeah, especially when the table doesn't break.
Yeah, table
Yeesh.
doesn't break, and you got a guy with a bad neck. Yeah. That wasn't great. That wasn't. I mean, hell of a visual. I won't say it wasn't that.
Yeah, great visual. But I was just like, well, man, that has got to suck. And it
Yeah.
was all that was running through my
But then,
brain.
with the match, then just kind of shifted into gear, and it did the thing that matches with these guys and others do, the fighting spirit spots, the kickouts at one late in the match, kind of bugged me. Probably again more than it should have, but again I was tired. It had been a long day at that point. But ultimately, in the end, as anyone would was it was so as something that was so, expe so expected that people started thinking that there was going to be a swerve and Omega was going to retain. No. Will Ospreay just wins the AEW World Championship from Kenny Omega, as you would expect, and as everything has been built to for months and months.
Yeah, and worth mentioning that he is the first person to kick out of the One-Winged Angel now?
I believe he, they did it in a spot with MJF, but the referee was down, so it. So MJF was down for like 30 seconds before he
He
before
kicked
the other
out.
ref came and counted the two and MJF kicked out. So this is the first real time, yes.
Yeah, okay. So that's fair enough. I there there's that's two very different things.
Yeah. But of course MJF can still claim to be the first man to ever kick out of the One-Winged Angel.
yes. Hey, it's the right of a heel to claim absurdities of that nature. Yeah, I really just because I had not been too long of a time, but I believe I watched this and it was the end of like another 2 hour chunk, like it felt like another, just I guess watching an episode of SmackDown, but it still seemingly took forever. But yeah, I guess I really enjoyed this match. It was another one where a lot of the AEW stuff that that I don't like didn't happen. They had the guys at ringside, and nothing. There was a little scuffle early in the match during the brawl portion that you talked about. But nothing really happened between the factions, which is great. Like we didn't have outside interference or anything like that. Yeah, really, really enjoyed the match. Like you said, I feel like Dave Meltzer was explaining it online that because the you were talking about the kick out at one spot, well, spots, I suppose. And I was like, I saw the first one. I'm like, oh, okay, like I can let that one slide. And then it happened the second time, and I'm like, I don't really like this, guys. And I think there was like another small moment too, early in the match when Kenny Omega was on the beatdown, and he winked at the camera a little too much for my liking. Like but honestly, very minor problems for what was an excellent match altogether. And like I said, I thought it avoided a lot of the AEW problems, because even with the kickouts at one, I don't feel like they did, they didn't kick out of too many spots that were completely ridiculous.
No, they
You
really
know,
weren't.
like
They really weren't.
even that bounce off the table moment, because it wasn't a falls count anywhere match, by the time they got back in the ring, like, I don't want to say it was a non-factor, but a pinning predicament wasn't hot off of that moment or anything of that nature.
Right. Yeah, no. I fully admit I was moody at this point in the day. This was really good, if not great. Yeah.
So, if anyone's feels like those minor problems give me Moxley and Nigel from earlier, but these two really put on quite a show here otherwise. So congrats to them. Congrats to Will Ospreay. It is kind of at least a little bit wild. I feel like the English have been in professional wrestling since I was a child, which is a quite some time ago at this juncture. It is wild that no British men's heavyweight champion, like of a WWE, and this is the first one for AEW,
Yeah,
I believe, the way they were framing
no.
it.
Yeah, I mean,
It's one of those
no.
ones where I'm not completely surprised, but I'm also a little bit surprised just because there's been a connection between the English and wrestling for long enough that it's kind of surprising that it's taken this long.
No, that's an interesting point. Yeah, no British-born wrestlers, male wrestlers, I should say, have
Oh,
ever been a
yeah.
world champion.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean,
I mean, if it was
I
going to be
mean,
anybody, it would have been Davey Boy, and it was never him. And then, Regal
yeah.
never made it to that level, and since then,
Yeah, I mean,
I
I
can't think of
even
anyone
remember
who.
Dave Taylor back in the day, like
Well, he was never
no one
world
was
champion, but.
ever no one was ever close
Right.
to that world championship level. Despite again, there at least being some influence here for quite a while, at least since the 80s,
And there's a period in the mid-90s where like every other pay-per-view was Davey Boy getting a title shot, and he could never pull it off.
I believe I missed those. So Davey Boy, oof, yeah, that was a rough run, I would say. I suppose we actually got that prediction right. Anything else to say overall? I feel like we've said it about as much as we can for AEW all in here.
I think we have. I think we have. A really good show. Well worth the money. I'll, I do these things once. I do these things once a year for a with AEW. I got my money's worth. Good show.
One show you did not need to pay for, and honestly, we can maybe treat it as well as we did last week here. NXT Heat Wave.
Please, why?
Did you watch it?
No, I did not watch a I've I'm trying to think of even what I've seen in clips, I've barely I didn't care. I still don't I don't care. It was a terrible lineup. NXT has been really has been
Fair.
especially bad lately, and it was a terrible lineup. I mean, am I
Fair.
supposed to say?
That is fair. Well, I ended up watching that, so I do think that it cost me the time of watching SmackDown this week. Is there anything that stood out to you on SmackDown worth covering, good sir, here?
Oh my! Oh, you're gonna make me carry this part of the show. Holy! Oh my God!
It looks like Kevin Owens was out first here on SmackDown.
Yes, he was. Yes, we got Kevin Owens demanding another title match. We got Gunther demanding a title match. We got Finn Balor demanding a title match, which led to a triple threat match that then later in the night, Sami Zayn got involved in, CM Punk got involved in. It was rolled in no contest. So I imagine at some point in the not too distant future, we're getting a five way.
Oh boy, this is unsurprising news. Nia Jax and Lash Legend took on Tiffany Stratton and Chelsea Green here. Chelsea back in tag team action already. But
Yes, with her new sparkly mask, but the new sparkly mask wasn't enough as they
no.
fell to the Irresistible Forces with Nia pinning Chelsea, and we as again are very soon getting Nia Jax versus Chelsea Green for the Women's Championship. Which, you know, it will be your oh my God, Chelsea can't win match, and then she, you know, ultimately she somehow pulls out the miracle win. Again, tale as old as time.
What?
And it usually works.
If you're the giant and you're taking on someone in their first title defense, you are always taking the L so that the baby face underdog has someone to punch up to here. It was kind of interesting. I feel like I saw some positive comments about one Paige wrestling JC Jane for the United States Championship. This match does not seem like it went very long,
No,
just under
it really,
8 minutes. So I'm not sure how much
there was,
evaluation can be had.
no, there were just not a lot of in-ring time. Though it was a very women's heavy show at the same time.
Oh yeah,
And
I mean back-to-back women's matches to kick off the evening.
I mean, unsurprisingly, Paige does not win the Women's US Championship from JC Jane. She's the numbers of Andrew Gitzer. She's JC Jane retains, and then Paige is attacked by Nikki Bella after the match. So not a good night for Paige.
Yeah, Paige definitely having it rough. Trick Williams, Little Yachty. Are we gonna get a Little Yachty training vignette, a la Rocky, before him and Baron Corbin face off?
Nice. It would be a crime if we didn't. We might as well go all the way with this. I mean, have they explicitly said that that if Yachty survives the 5 minutes, the US Championship match starts immediately on Sunday night's main event? So I don't feel like they have, but other people are kind of assuming that's the stip.
My ears have not heard that.
Gotcha, yeah.
I just thought that he was getting the match at some point. I did not believe he was getting it immediately.
No, yeah, I think some people are just making something up, essentially.
Yeah, it would not make any sense. I would not agree to those stipulations if I was Baron Corbin. I would have gotten that stuff cleared up in my contract.
Right, yeah.
So after that, Cody Rhodes comes out and asks the crowd a question, his usual question. And him and Randy Orton evidently. Oh, did Orton come out, or is this just all
Yeah,
Cody?
Randy Orton came out. They're both trying to get the other to strike the other one, because otherwise then they're banned from championship matches from now on. Randy Orton gets in Cody's face, makes references to Pharaoh the dog being dead, which I have heard that, which I have now read is not actually true.
Randy Orton just going low to go low,
Very, very low. He went very, very low. It got the reaction. It was supposed to. So yeah, these two building up the intensity for their Sunday night's main event clash.
Good on them. Tatum Paxley getting some TV time,
Yeah, this
evidently
match got
too.
a bit of time, but ooh, it was rough.
Oh,
You
I
would
was
think
just
that
looking
Tatum
at
has
the
never.
interview.
Well, speaking of interviews, that we've bypassed the real highlight of this show.
Oh.
Danhausen meets Gunnar. So Danhausen calls Gunther. You definitely need to check this. If you don't watch anything else with SmackDown, check that clip out. It was really funny. You would not think that Danhausen would ever interact with Gunther, but here we are, and it was fantastic.
I will
Nice
make
to meet
sure
you,
it's seen.
Gunner. Very impressive, very evil.
And Gunnar didn't kick his ass either, huh?
No.
Wow,
He did
okay.
not.
Huh. Interesting. Interesting, interesting. Yeah, because it just looks like some video packages with the MFTs.
Yeah.
Yep, Kiyoki. That's going to take a minute for me to get used to that name.
That definitely will.
And you already talked about the main event, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens,
Yep.
and Gunnar here. I guess we did not talk about the. Oh, yeah, no contest here. Of course, like you said, five-way matchup. I'll tell you what, Chris. If I have not seen a more lifeless crowd, even for the WWE product, than the one that I watched on Monday Night Raw this week.
What that's your home state crowd right there. That's good. That's clear. That's the land.
Oh my gosh! There have been a couple of times. Where there have been some really bad crowds up there.
There, this was definitely one. This was definitely
I
one of them.
remember yelling at people at because it wasn't tables, ladders, and chairs. I don't think the but it was the Terry Invitational Classic Finals
Oh, yeah.
was up there in Cleveland. And I legitimately remember yelling at people. Like, I couldn't believe that people weren't excited about some of the spots going on in that match. And I legitimately started yelling at people around me like a
That's a good
psychopath.
story. That's a good story. Yeah, no. This was just not a. Yeah, this wasn't a good crowd. I mean.
And
Cleveland,
it, I
the
don't
Cleveland is
think.
a terrible place to pick to do a double taping then. Because I'm pretty sure Raw went first. So SmackDown that's gonna air on Friday was after this.
Oh my gosh. Jeez. Yeah. And it is wild too. Like, I don't understand what completely goes on production wise. So much different. Like, the show just has a completely different vibe when it's live. And you could tell. Like, I can't remember the last time, especially the WWE, had a taped event.
They still do it once or twice a year.
Yeah, and oh man, this one just felt really rough to me for whatever
That's
reason.
not even
This
including, and
Raw.
that's not even including when it's international.
Yeah, well, and again, like I still feel like the international ones have
Well, yeah, there's initial crowds,
The international, the crowd itself helps, but it still feels like a live broadcast, even if
yeah,
I'm
it
watching
because it
it
was
later than
because at
normal.
this point it is because it's going to air on Netflix either in the U.S. or at or somewhere or SmackDown will still air on Netflix and internationally and for people in the U.S. who have VPNs, like you can watch SmackDown at, when SmackDown's in like England, you can watch it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon if you wanted to.
Oh, right.
So it is live, it is live somewhere when they do that. But yeah, this was a very the yeah yeah the, this was a very canned feeling show. I think that's the good best word for it. It felt like canned. It felt doing the pixelation in the big beatdown angle. Really shows right. Really shows you right there that the show is taped. Yeah, just
Oh,
yeah.
right.
Which I guess
Yeah,
we could
it
just we
was.
I get which I guess we can start. We can start there. The Weiss Keys and his new crew of OTM.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, I got it
OTM.
right.
Lucian Price and Bronco Nema.
Yes, yes.
Really got the drop on the Usos.
They
Without
did. They did.
Jacob
They.
Fatu.
Yes. They beat that. They beat down the Usos pretty darn good and sent them off packing to a local medical facility. So that terminology is back.
Just yeah. Everyone just listening, I am rolling my eyes extremely hard. Yeah, they've popped that up every now and again for whatever reason, especially Tessitore. I don't know if Tessitore likes to do it just as a rib.
He might, yeah.
Yeah, that beatdown was it really started the staleness of feeling of this thing, just because they had already told you it was earlier in the day. But yeah,
Yeah.
so up first matchup, Raquel Rodriguez defends her Intercontinental Championship against Sol Ruka, who is trying to regain it. And though Judgment Day tries to interfere, the story, I suppose, of the match, Lyra Valkyria is the one actually interfering to benefit Raquel Rodriguez in this situation.
Yep, she did. I mean, yeah, these interference spots and Judgment Day women matches are just so cookie cutter and the same every single time. How it plays out. Yeah, it's just yeah, we gotta it's probably time to move on from this way of doing things.
Yeah, did not don't really love that for Raquel, honestly. Soul getting sucked into whatever this Lyra vortex is, it does not seem like a good thing.
No, it really no, it really isn't. It's not anything that's really going anywhere, no. And Sol already
So
got the win over Lyra, so now it feels like Sol's got to drop a loss to Lyra as well, to at least even the
oh,
score.
yeah, not yeah, definitely not loving that situation for her. Chad Gable comes out for a promo here, brings out Dragon Lee. And then Ethan Page interrupts that whole situation. Despite many appearances in the Cleveland area, Ethan Page still roundly booed
Yeah.
for
Yes, he
this segment.
was. Yes, his never-ending quest to become Intercontinental Champion that has just thus far not gained him any gold.
No, and it didn't even get him a chance at gold this
No,
week.
no. I mean, you kind of knew with what's coming between Smack in 2 weeks, between SmackDown and Raw. That you know that the key guys who are going to be given an extra push. One of them is Penta, one of them is Rey Fénix, and the other is Dragon Lee, to make sure that he is in a featured match in Mexico City.
Yes. Yeah, that is definitely what this matchup was servicing. And yeah, Dragon Lee, I guess to his credit, is doing everything he can to
He is.
take
Yes, he's
advantage
doing
of
very.
these opportunities.
Yeah, I mean he's the. I mean he's the. He's the number three guy in this whole scenario for sure. But he's doing some good work.
Yeah.
He's not quite Rey Fénix level of work, but he's doing some good work here. I mean Gable
Yeah.
should be good. There's no reason it won't be. And in that atmosphere and in that building, it should be quite. It should be a bit of a spectacle.
Yeah, and I think this is the oh no, not the last thing of the night here. Roman Reigns finally arrives at Monday Night Raw. Evidently, he didn't want to be in Cleveland any longer than he needed to be. He obviously arrives to the Usos at a hospital because that other term is silly.
Not seeming to be too concerned.
No, he did not seem terribly concerned. He just tells Jacob Fatu that Royce Keyes is his business and that everything else is Roman's problem, is I believe how the wording went
Yeah,
there.
and then he gets his promo. He addresses Rey Fénix, he addresses Penta, he th takes a th does a long soliloquy on Solo Sikoa until he is interrupted by LA Knight. LA Knight continues to try and needle at Roman Reigns, call him a coward, and then every other name in the book to try to get his championship match, but still no dice. And then we get glimpse backstage as Solo has now been taken out, along with some unidentified other man also down and out next to Solo, presumed to be some type of official or security or what ha or whatever. And we get Jacob Fatu denying that he had anything to do with it, because I assume at that point it was Royce and OTM who took out Solo. And
Yeah,
but
I would
it
assume so too.
And we get LA Knight turning around into a Superman punch from Roman Reigns. And then Roman Reigns telling Jacob Fatu something along that that's how you get it under control or whatever. That's how.
Yeah, and Roman is soon gonna find out that is not really under control.
No.
Dominic Mysterio takes on Javon Evans. Judgment Day, interference. No one is shocked.
Dom finally gets to start getting wins again.
Yep. This one, because of the help of Joe Hendry, ends up turning into a tag team match with Dominic Mysterio and JD McDonagh taking on Javon and Joe Hendry.
I jumped the gun a bit, but to talk about Dominic getting a win, he gets the win in the tag match with a frog splash on Joe Hendry after a headbutt from JD to Joe Hendry, as Dominic actually gets to start winning again as they realize he has this championship he's defending in the next 2 weeks, and a show they want people to think is important.
Yeah, it is really wild what as much good as they've done. I'm not sure what they've done with Dominic Mysterio and AAA. Like, that's one of those ones where I'm like, has the guy really been down there?
Yeah, he's been down there quite a bit. He's the champion.
It's one of those ones where you heard about El Grande Americano, heard about Lola Vice. I feel like I see clips of just about everyone except for Dominic Mysterio.
He's there a little more sparingly. He hasn't defended that title in a pretty long time now.
I did like this backstage segment here with Stephanie Vaquer and Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch not being ready to come around on actually helping Stephanie Vaquer and still being bullheaded about things is I feel like you could play that out for a little bit longer here.
Yeah, you could.
I don't know how long it will happen, but I feel like it'll get resolved at some point. Question mark.
Yeah, I think so.
And then each of them will get their chances at Liv Morgan, I would think, at some point. But
Yeah, Stephanie's is already next week.
oh yeah. Yeah. So I'd imagine that unfortunately Judgment Day interference will cost her and Becky Lynch is the next one up.
Yeah.
And
And
quite
then we'll get the
possibly
triple
we
threat
end with the
match.
triple threat match.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, did enjoy that segment. Paul Heyman ends up getting interviewed by one Kathy Kelly, and he has his thoughts on Bron Breakker versus Oba Femi.
He did. His thoughts were pretty succinct that, and he set the match up beautifully. It's a match neither man can afford to lose, which is pretty true, actually. But I guess there's Bron Breakker. Breakker to me is the one who really can't afford to lose this. He spirals
No,
even
oh.
further down. There's a way to have Oba lose this, especially if there's, chicanery
Oh.
afoot.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Oba has a little more leeway. Braun Breaker, oof, that is a really tough spot that he's in if he ends up taking the L on that match.
Yeah.
It's just yeah, people have not had a whole lot of luck getting back out of the hole there. And then yeah, and last but not least on this show here, we end up with Rey Fénix versus Penta for the World Heavyweight Championship match in Mexico City. And we get another excellent lucha on lucha matchup here on
Yeah, we
WWE
do.
TV.
This match was excellent. I got as you'd expect, probably these two, incredible chemistry. Really, really good match. And I think they've done just enough with Phoenix over the last couple of weeks to make you think that maybe they'd go in that direction. But ultimately, no, it says everyone thought when this tournament was announced, yeah, Penta defeats his brother. He will challenge Roman Reigns for the championship in 2 weeks from Mexico City. And whoo, talk about electric. That will be a hell of a sight.
Yeah, that's definitely something to look forward to on a Monday evening, whatever hour that thing
And
ends up airing.
not as electric as it really should have been because of the aforementioned awful Cleveland crowd, the
Oh.
stare down moment between Roman Reigns and Penta, where we did one up in the air versus Ciro Maierto at the same time, to a very tepid response.
Yeah, that was not great. So yeah, if SmackDown got recorded after this, oof, these I don't think these reactions are gonna get any better. I do not think they're gonna get any better. 'Cause yeah, you should at least be excited about this matchup. That's all I'm gonna
Yeah.
say. So anything else before we get on out of here, sir?
No, not at all.
Okie dokie. Bell time beer of the show. You've got to go into the middle of West Virginia to find this place. It's in Brewston Mills, West Virginia, Screech Owl Brewing. It's only open a couple 2 to 3 days a week, I believe. Yeah, they make very delicious beers if you happen to be in that part of the woods. They do can too, so this one happens to be their Wild and Wonderful Strawberry Ale. It's really light beer. It's only 6.2% alcohol, and it does have a little bit of a strawberry flavor to it. And it's very mild. No real hops to speak of. It's kind of more like a golden ale with a little bit of strawberry in there. So yeah, should one find themselves wandering around West Virginia, stop in there on a Friday or Saturday, and you will enjoy yourself. Good beer, good people watching. Bell time beer suggestion from at DeFranga11. The account is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.